We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
To a large segment of Christianity, the Holy Spirit is this mysterious ghost, or perhaps a dove-like creature. You see these pictures of doves, or this weird Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of understanding of the Spirit. He's rarely mentioned on Sunday services. There are churches all over this city and all over the Metroplex, but it's very rare that he is directly mentioned in a sermon. If he is mentioned at all, he's just kind of like, well, he was in that story, the baptism story of Jesus. So he was there, and then we mentioned a scripture about him, stuff like that. He's very rarely the focal point of a Sunday service. Would you agree with that? I don't think I'm off right there, right? The Holy Spirit is a cornerstone of the first century church. It's right there in the birth of that church. It is the promise of the Father that Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for. It is the cornerstone of that first century church. But somehow it's become a footnote in the 21st century church. That's not right. Why should you try the Spirit? Let's talk about it real quick. John 4:24. God is what?
Spirit.
God is Spirit. And His worshipers must worship in Spirit and truth. God is Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit. That one God, He is Father. He is the Son. He is also the Holy Spirit. All right? The Spirit inside you is God. Fully God. Doesn't make you fully God. But all of God can be inside of you, the Holy Spirit. You worship God by His Spirit. Is worship important?
Yeah,
you're going to worship by the Spirit. Do you want to take your worship to a new level? It's by the Spirit. So to understand God and to interact with God in worship, you need the Spirit. John 3:5, Jesus talks about the Spirit. He tells you, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and what?
The Spirit.
We are commanded by Jesus to be born again, to be born of the water and born of Spirit. The new birth is our entry into the kingdom. Do you like God's kingdom?
Yeah.
Would you like to be a part of God's kingdom?
Amen.
Then you should be interested in trying the Holy Spirit. Paul supports this idea in Romans 14:17 about entry into the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In who? In the Holy Spirit. You want to try the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes us to heaven. Does that like sound like something you would want to do one day? Maybe not. No, it's something you want to do. Holy Spirit is your vehicle to heaven. Anyone want to be in heaven? It brings you back to life. Does that sound interesting to you? Does that sound something like you would like? Would you like that for your family members that you love so much that the Holy Spirit would bring them back to life? Well, it does it. You should try it. Romans 8:6 says this, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life, and not just life, but also peace. Romans 8:11, just a few verses later, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. What is that saying? That's saying if you're dead, the Holy Spirit brings you back to life. Does that sound like something you'd like?
Yeah.
Then you need to try the Spirit. But that's not all. The Spirit leads you into truth. All truth, John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. You look at life and you wonder what is true and what's not true, and you're worried about, man, am I making the right decisions? Am I believing something that's not true? What am I doing here? Which way should I go? Who should I believe? Holy Spirit solves all that for you because he leads you into all truth. Jesus tells us that the Spirit is our power source. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when what? When who? The Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There is power in the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that power comes on you. And there's enough power in this Holy Spirit that it will reach to the ends of the earth. That's the power we're talking about. The Holy Spirit, also known as the Holy Ghost, just different words, same person, same thing, exploded on the scene in Acts chapter 2. So it explodes in Acts chapter 2. But make no mistake, the Spirit was present in the Old Testament. It wasn't invented in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit was present and active from the beginning. The second verse in your Bible. What's the first book in the entire Bible? Redemption. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What created the whole world? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit inside you is the same Spirit that created the world. If you're worried about how you're going to fix your world, you need to try this Holy Spirit because it created the world. Stop your worrying. Get a hold of the Holy Spirit. He knows how to create everything, recreate everything, set everything right. He's holding all the atoms together. He can fix your problem. You need to try the Holy Spirit. What better to come set your world right than the Spirit that created the world? That's logical, right? The Spirit outpouring that took place in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost was prophesied of in your Old Testament. All right, so it didn't just happen in like this new thing that no one knew was coming. No, when you look in the Old Testament, we should have known it was coming. Let's throw some scriptures together. Look at this. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. See, I will send my messenger. Who do you think the messenger God sends is? Jesus. Who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. There's this prophecy that God is going to suddenly come to his temple. Now, guess what? The temple wasn't the man-made built structure, but it was this temple that God suddenly comes to. What happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. What's the next word? Suddenly, Acts chapter 2, verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. That is the fulfillment of the Malachi 3, 1 prophecy. Now, what is up with this wind? This crazy wind comes out of there. When I was really young, I thought it was Russian wind. The nationality of wind, wrong. It's a rushing, a great, big, like a tornado of wind. What's up with this wind? Well, Jesus told us that the Spirit birth would be like wind. Did you know that? He says it in John 3:7. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And remember, it's being born again of water and spirit. Verse 8, the wind blows. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said would happen. Verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Where did this wind come and where is it going? Good luck with that. You're never going to know. But everybody born of the Spirit, it's like this wind that just flows in. You'll hear this wind. You'll hear this sound of this wind, but have no idea where it came from. Let me tell you that the Holy Spirit cannot be controlled. The Holy Spirit is not controlled by any pastor. It's not controlled by any church or denomination. It's not controlled by a government. No one can control the Holy Spirit. That would be like trying to control the wind. You can't control the wind. Isaiah 28:11. It's Old Testament pointing to the New Testament. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. In the context of this chapter, it's Israel, I am visiting you, and you aren't listening to me, so I am going to do something brand new. There is a brand new stammering lip and an unknown tongue going to talk to you, and it's going to be the rest, it's going to be the refreshing you've always been looking for, but some of you aren't going to receive it. Some of you aren't going to hear it. That's Isaiah 28. That's the Old Testament, y'all. It's fulfilled in Acts 2:3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know that this Holy Spirit is the rest we were all looking for. It is the refreshing we were all looking for. It is the counselor. It is the peace that passes all understanding. That is the Holy Spirit. And then Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the prophet said, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. What a testimony, what a prophecy that is, because the people he's speaking to don't even believe it. They believed only Jews could have access to the presence of God. They only believed a people of a certain lineage of blood could have access to God. What a prophecy right here. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Yeah. Your sons and what? No, hold on. You pass over this passage of scripture and not understand how powerful it is. Your sons, everybody gets that. Everybody gets that because in the culture, everything passed to your son. All the money went to the son. All the inheritance went to the son. Everything went to the son. Everything, no, no, no. With this spirit, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Daughters, women in this house, through the Holy Spirit, you have a power that you never had before. The Holy Spirit shows up and rewrites all the rules. That's powerful. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Where is this fulfilled? It's fulfilled in Acts 2. In fact, Peter references this very passage, Acts 2, 16. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. He's saying what he said, it's happening right now. This Holy Spirit, it shows up in Acts chapter 2 and explodes on the scene. But it was always there. It was always God's plan. It was always his plan to fill you with this Holy Spirit. It was not just his plan to have a holy of holies where the God Spirit dwells. That was to show us what his Spirit looks like. The temple was to show us what the Acts chapter 2 Holy Spirit infilling was all about. This is so important. Everything in the book of the Old Testament is pointing to this. It's pointing to Jesus now being inside your heart. Somebody said amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit outpouring isn't just some strange thing that happens a few times in your Bible. The Spirit of God inside you has always been his plan. John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you for a little while. Do we have that verse up there? It's John 14 and 16. He's going to be with you how long? Forever. How important is this? It's something that's going to be with you forever. That means in heaven, Holy Spirit's going to be with you. That means he's never going to leave you. That means you can't do something so stupid that he leaves you. He's like, enough of this, I'm out of here. No, he's with you forever. Some people think that the Holy Spirit is no longer active on the world. Hello, would you read John 14, 16? The counselor is with you forever. Do you get it? Do you see that? It's right there to be seen. John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Boy, how did they know him? For he lives with you and will be in you. And then he says, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, but he keeps mixing his pronouns. He, the Holy Spirit, I will come to you. He won't leave you. I will be with you. What is he saying? That very same Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Whereas you have Jesus in human form, he's God in a bod walking around, you have the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus, the very Spirit of the everlasting God living inside of you.
Yeah.
That's some good news. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me just stop and talk to you right here. Some people are like, oh, I'm nervous about this Holy Spirit thing. I don't think I'll like the Holy Spirit thing. Wake up for a second, because the Holy Spirit is Jesus. You can't love Jesus and not love the Holy Spirit. You can't say, Jesus, please come quick. Come back to earth and say, no, I don't want the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So if you have qualms about the Holy Spirit today, I want you to change your reference, change your thought pattern. It's the same Jesus that you worship. It's the same Jesus that you love. It's the same Jesus that you call on. It's the same Jesus. It's not some weird thing. It's not like you have one family member and then you have that strange uncle and the strange uncle's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not that. That would be really creepy. The Holy Spirit is not your strange Uncle Ed. It's Jesus. Amen. The Spirit is radical. Look at somebody and say, the Spirit is radical. Let's take a look at the book of Acts and see what the infilling of the Holy Spirit is like. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, first of all, you need to experience it. But also, you open up your Bible. And there's no better place to go to see what the infilling is like than the book of Acts. That is the history book in your Bible. We have read Acts 2. How many believers were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came? 120. Very good. And not just men, but women also. In fact, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is even recorded to be in the upper room. She receives the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? Acts 2, verse 4. All of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, wait. All who? The 120. Now, just men? Just the preachers? Just the people that had a call to do ministry? No. All of them, all 120, both male and female, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them. It was for everyone, and it still is for everyone. All of them were filled. All of them spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not just men, not just pastors, not just preachers, everybody. The Spirit's for everybody. What a crazy scene that was in Acts chapter 2. What happens in the upper room then spills out into the streets, and before you know it, 3,000 souls are added to the church. That's a pretty good day's worth of ministry right there. Would you agree? Could you imagine if 3,000 souls were here and we needed to baptize them all? We'd be asking for your help. You'd be baptizing some folks. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be awesome? The Holy Spirit did that. That was the Holy Spirit coming in people's lives, and it was radical and it changed everything. So that's Acts chapter 2. Now we're going to jump to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The Spirit is poured out on the Gentiles. That's non-Jews. This is important to me. It's probably important to you being non-Jewish, because that means you can also receive the Holy Spirit. It's not just for Jewish people. Let's see what that experience is like. Acts 10 verse 43. All the prophets testify about him. This is Peter preaching. That everyone believes in him, speaking of Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that's the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Verse 46. For they heard them speak in tongues and praising God. Okay. So there's some things here. I want to point them out. while he was still preaching the gospel, while he was still speaking. He was in the middle of his sermon. He was still talking about Jesus. He wasn't done preaching. The Spirit didn't wait for an altar call to move. Don't you dare think that you have to wait for an altar call to receive something from God, because while Peter is yet preaching, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter couldn't get through with his sermon before the Spirit was already moving and changing lives. Redemption Church, would you like that to happen here? I would love for that to happen here. I want God's Spirit to move beyond the words we say in a sermon and in a pulpit. I want God to do something that only God can do. You want that? I want that. Redemption Church, let's be that. But what else happens here? Peter and the Jewish men with him are shocked. They're shocked because Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. This never happened before. We didn't know this could happen. They were blown away by this. Even though they had the prophet Joel saying all flesh, even though in Acts 2:39, Peter had said something very similar. He said, this promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit, is unto you, to your children, and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He said that with his own mouth. That means everybody has the promise of this Holy Spirit. But yet when he sees it, and those Jewish men see it, they're all shocked because Gentiles were receiving the Holy Spirit. How did they know they had received the Holy Spirit? How did they know they had received the Holy Spirit? Well, we're talking about people that had received the Holy Spirit themselves. And in Acts 10:46, it says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. That's how they knew they had received the Holy Spirit. And the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. That's something very interesting in this passage. God can fill you with His Spirit before you are ever baptized. But does that make baptism unnecessary? Absolutely not. Peter didn't think so, because he has the Gentiles baptized in the name of Jesus in verse 48. He's saying, well, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Who here would forbid them to be baptized? And they baptize them in the name of Jesus. Now that's chapter 10, Acts 10, right? We started with Acts 2, now we're in Acts 10. Peter then travels back to Jerusalem to share with everyone how the Gentiles were saved. Now remember, no one has ever seen a Gentile saved like this. No one's ever seen a Gentile saved. You wouldn't have Gentile and saved in the same sentence. So he goes back and he's trying to explain this to everyone. Let's read it, Acts 11:15. As I began to speak, Peter says, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Verse 16, then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Verse 18, when they heard this, they had no further objections and they praised God. So then, they were saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. All right, get this. God gave the Gentiles the same gift. Right? That same gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe God still gives the same gift? Do you believe that God still gives that Acts chapter 2 gift? That he gives that Acts chapter 10 gift? Is the same gift of the Spirit still available for those who believe on Jesus? In Acts 19, so now we're moving on to Acts 19. We've been in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 11. It's kind of important if you care about the Holy Spirit and how it's poured out. I like to memorize these chapters where he's filling people's lives. Acts 2, Acts 10, and it's retold in Acts 11. And then also the Spirit's poured out in Acts chapter 19. Some disciples of John were rebaptized in Jesus' name. Sound familiar? It should sound familiar. We preached about it last week. Paul asks a really interesting question. Acts 19:2. He asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then they're rebaptized in Jesus' name. And what happens in Acts 19:6? When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And what happened? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. That's what it says. Now, these disciples were rebaptized into Jesus and they received the Spirit. Someone, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. That's how you would describe it, right? If you were to describe what that scene was like, they are rebaptized and then he lays his hand on them and they speak in tongues and they prophesy. That's how you'd describe it. That's how Luke described it. It's written down in Acts by Luke. Are these encounters anything like church today? Don't you think we should be encountering the unchanging God the same way? Don't you think we should be receiving the same Spirit, the same Counselor that He said He would give to us forever? No, Redemption Church, I'm speaking specifically to you because you have said you want to be a first century church. You really want to be a first century church, or is that just a clever little slogan we came up with? Do we really want to be a first century church that's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that has the mission of Jesus in our forefront, and we're always preaching and talking about Jesus? Do we want to be that? Good. And we want to be a first century church that connects to a 21st century world. Guess what? That means we should be experiencing the Spirit. Just like they did in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, retold in Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 19. If you can't tell, I'd really like you to learn these chapters. But here's a question. You get this question a lot. How do you know you have received the Holy Spirit? How do you know you've received the Holy Spirit? I remember I have this friend named John. He's got the nerdiest last name in all of America. His last name is Heesberger. Heesberger. Lord. John Heesberger. If you're watching this, dude. But I remember I was sharing Jesus with John. I was telling him about the Holy Spirit. And I asked him, do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? And he's like, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. How do you know if you don't have the Holy Spirit? How do you know if you do have the Holy Spirit? He was clueless. He was raised in church all of his life, but he didn't know that. Maybe you're in this place and that question mystifies you. How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? It's a legitimate question. Based on denominational background, we might come up with all different answers. If you're from this denominational background, you might say this. And if you're from this denominational background, you might say this over here. And then all around the room, we have all these different opinions. And then that would get really confusing, right? Welcome to denominalism. It is confusing. Many churches disagree on the answer to this question. How do you know you've received the Holy Spirit? I want you to take a moment and get your answer in your head. What do you think that answer is? What do you think it is? It's an important question. It's an important answer. The Holy Spirit is poured out in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. This is the last chapter I'm going to take you to in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. 2, 8, 10, 11, 19. Okay? Acts chapter 8. In the city of Samaria, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Let's read about it and see if we can clear this question up on how you know. How do you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. So who is he preaching about? Jesus Christ, right? Ever hear of him? He's preaching about Jesus. Verse 6. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he had to say, what he said. And at verse 7, with shrieks... It escalates here. It gets kind of intense. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. Some really radical stuff going on. The Holy Spirit's radical. Verse 8. So there was great joy in the city. All right. So one guy shows up. Not a whole missions team, Shelton. You're taking a whole missions team. This one guy shows up, and he preaches the simple message of Jesus Christ, and all of this happens. Come on. Is Jesus the most important, powerful thing of all time, or what? Yeah. So So I want you to take note. Jesus is preached. That's the message of salvation right there. Jesus is preached. Miracles and signs are performed. Demons are cast out and they are not happy about it. They're yelling like girls. I love that. They're shrieking. They're like, ah. That's how I like to hear the demons in my head. That came out wrong. People are healed. There is joy in the city. You bet there's joy. This guy was crippled. Now he's jumping up and down. This person was depressed. Now they're healed. This wonderful stuff happened. Do you think at this point they have received the Holy Spirit yet? You think so, right? Let's read on. Verse 9. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. Enter the bad guy, Simon the sorcerer. Verse 10. And all the people, both high and low, gave Simon their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the great power." Verse 11. They followed him because he had amazed them for so long with his magic. Right? We're going to be talking about Simon in just a second. This guy, Simon the sorcerer, was a big deal, and he controlled everything. Moving on, verse 12, Acts chapter 8. But when they believed Philip, say believed. When they believed the message of Philip. What was the message of Philip? Jesus. They believed on Jesus as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were what? Baptized, both men and women. Take note, they believed. So do you think they've received the Holy Spirit yet? As they believed for the first time on Jesus. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Peter tells you to do that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And we made a big deal of that last week. They're baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God, that's big. That's fulfilling the Great Commission. That's obedience. Do you think they're filled with the Holy Spirit yet? Surely this was the moment they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Acts 8, 13. Simon himself believed. Wait a second. Simon himself believes on this message, and he's baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So now this guy, who everyone was astonished by, Simon, now he's astonished by Philip. He's following Philip around. How about that? Simon the sorcerer was getting a hold of Jesus. He's changing his life. What an amazing revival. Would you agree that this is an amazing revival? There is more stuff that happens in just a few days in the city of Samaria that happens in most churches over the lifetime of their church. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. Do you agree that this is some amazing move of God here? It's pretty amazing, right? Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So get this, they received the word of God. It says it right there. Perhaps they received the Holy Spirit when they believed and received the word. Reading on, Acts 8, verse 15. When they arrived, Peter and John, they prayed for them that they might... Wait, maybe that's wrong. Am I reading this wrong? They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know this might like contradict some of your church background, but this is straight Bible, so let's just... leave our backgrounds aside. Let's look at the Word of God right here. Who had received the Spirit so far in this city? There's this great revival happening. Who has received the Holy Spirit? No one. Let the Word of God confront your belief system right here. These people believed. We read it. They received the Word of God. We read it. They were baptized. We read it. They had a personal experience with God that would blow some of our experiences away. The shrieking demons, the healing, all that. God healed them and delivered them from demons. They had joy. Well, hold on, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And some people say that if you show the fruit of the Spirit, that's the proof. That's how you know you have the Holy Spirit. But not here. They had joy, but no Holy Ghost. As good as believing is. And you better believe it's important and it's necessary for salvation to believe. But it is not how you know you have received the Holy Spirit. Does Acts chapter 8 say that? Water baptism, saying a sinner's prayer, feeling God's presence, seeing His power on display. As good as those things are, Acts chapter 8 says that they aren't evidence of the Spirit's arrival. Get this. The apostles, John and Peter, looked around at a citywide revival and they said, wait a second. We need to pray for these people because they still need to receive the Holy Spirit. Shut it down. We're going to pray for everybody right now. That's what they did. Redemption Church, if Peter and John were here today, they would say the same thing. They would say, I love that we're worshiping Jesus together. Yeah, let's get back to that. But stop. Let's pray because we need to receive the Holy Spirit. They would say, I loved receiving the Word of God with you. That is so important. I love breaking bread, taking communion together. More of that. I love it. But can we stop for a moment and pray to receive the Holy Spirit? They would say, you know what? I love having fellowship with you and meeting house to house. That is so good. Keep doing that. But stop for a moment because we need to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. They would do it. They'd be right here. They would tell you all those things are so good, but it's not enough. You need to go further. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They would look us in the eye and they would tell us that. Redemption Church, we need to be a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be a church known for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need to be known as known for preaching Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. And we're a place where the Holy Spirit is alive and He's active in our lives. He's not just resident in this church. He's resident in your footsteps when you're walking to your job and when you're walking into your home. The Holy Spirit is there. We need to be that kind of church, Redemption Church. We need to be that kind of church. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter and John would tell you that. I'm telling you that right now. We need to be a Spirit filled church. Amen. You can clap for that. I hope you believe it. Acts 8:17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. How did they know that they had received the Holy Spirit? Because now they know they had received the Holy Spirit. How did they know? Something must have happened to cause them to know. In fact, something must have happened that they could see. Some undeniable proof happened that Peter and John saw that they had not seen happen previously in Acts chapter 8. All the stuff that happened, they saw something brand new. When they saw it, they knew that's it. That person has received the Holy Spirit. And they weren't the only ones to see it. So it's not like this, oh, only the apostle of God can see this thing. Because there's someone else that sees it. Simon the sorcerer sees it. Look at this verse, Acts chapter 8, verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of hands of the apostles, he offered them money. Not just the apostles, John and Peter, saw that they had received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw something, and it was so powerful, and it blew him away that the sorcerer reached for his wallet and said, how can I buy this miraculous power? How can I buy this amazing Holy Spirit? Of course, Peter tells him, you can't buy it. Here's what I want you to get from this. When you receive the Holy Spirit, something happens. It's not like, okay, we just went through this ceremony and now we walk out the door, we received it. No, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's radical. Something happens. There is a happening when you receive the Holy Spirit. It's not, I'm telling you that you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're sitting there going, oh, okay. No. In fact, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you know that you've received the Holy Spirit. And not just that, the people around you know that you've received the Holy Spirit because the evidence is visible instantly. Now, of course, it should be visible in your life as you're walking in the Spirit, as you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, as your life is showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Totally agree. But instantly, it is evidenced in the visible. Instantly. We're not talking 10 years from now when we've learned how to be good Christians. No, the moment they laid hands and prayed on them, in that moment, they saw something where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew it. So what's the evidence? Right, I'm coming to it. I'm trying to bring all this together. First, let's review. This is straight scripture, y'all. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They all received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. In Acts 10:46, Peter and the other Jews knew that the Gentiles received the Spirit because they heard them speak in tongues, and they were praising God, magnifying God. In Acts 11, remember they're retelling the scripture. In the story, Acts 11:15, Peter testifies that the Spirit infilling in Acts 10 was just like what he had experienced in Acts 2. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the church. When is the beginning of the church? Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost. He's saying, we've seen this before, and what we received, they're receiving the exact same thing. The same Holy Ghost experience then falls in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That's the Word of God. It's straight from the Word of God. I have a friend named John I've told you about. He's Burger. He's raised in this non-spirit-filled church. And he was hungry for more of God. He was really hungry for friendship. And I just kind of befriended him. But I used that as a leverage point to share Jesus with him. And he was very curious about this Holy Spirit. I remember very well the night he received the Holy Spirit. Remember, he wasn't sure had he received the Holy Spirit or if he hadn't. He wasn't sure about all that. But the night he received the Holy Spirit, I remember he was down at an altar. I remember he turned around. He had just spoken in tongues. And with tears in his eyes, he said these words, "You do know. You do know when you receive the Holy Spirit. I don't have to guess ever again." You see, we'll set speaking in tongues off to the side because that can be weird and taboo. And oh, how dare we talk about that? It's weird enough to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about speaking in tongues. Just set that to the side. This Holy Spirit is so important. You should know that you know that you know you have it. You shouldn't have to guess if you have it. You shouldn't have to hope. Well, I hope I have it. I worshiped really hard today. Does that mean I have it? I felt a goosebump. Does that mean I have it enough? Do I have it? Do I not have it? John would tell you today, you do know when you've received the Holy Spirit. I want to ask Katie to come. I'm drawn to a close. I know I've been long today. Thank you for hanging with me. I've just got a few more things to say. My wife, Sarah, right here. Love you, love you, Sarah. Thank you for being so awesome. She worked a long stretch of time and got off early today to be in the house of God. Thank you for being here, Sarah. Love you. Sarah was raised in a church that didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. Out of respect to those people, and we're not going to name that denomination. That's not the point of all this. But she was raised in this church that didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit. And it seemed like when they did talk about the Holy Spirit, it was always in the past tense. Remember that story back there with the Holy Spirit did that. And it was like what he did 2,000 years ago, not about what he was doing now. It was always in the past tense. It was always like God used to do this. And she was raised to believe that healing or speaking in tongues was probably of the devil. And it definitely wasn't of God. The person's either crazy or they got a devil. It's kind of how she's raised. Am I all right? Then she met me, and then things really got bad. Now, she met me, and I was working as a worship pastor at this really great church called Redemption Church. You should come visit it sometimes. And she heard about the Spirit here. And she was nervous. She's like, oh my gosh, this is one of those churches they told me about. I really like this guy. Oh, I was so lucky. It's a miracle that she fell in love with me. It is an absolute miracle. She heard about the Spirit. She was really nervous. She's like, uh-oh, those people. I remember her asking, do I have to speak in tongues? Do I have to do that? Like, really nervous about it. Like, totally like, oh my gosh, really? Well, kind of like if we put nasty food out here and made you eat it. Like the, whatever Sean ate, the red bean ice cream. You have to eat this. Do I have to do, because I don't think I would like that. I remember her saying, do I have to do this? Because I don't think I would like that. I want more of God, but I don't think I want this tongues thing. That's weird. I remember her saying that. But I want to remind everyone in this room, you have to try something before you can say, I don't like it. Then one Sunday, she was in this altar talking to Jesus. She was singing songs to Jesus. She was giving her life once again to Jesus. That's not just a one-time thing. She was once again giving her life to Jesus. When all of a sudden, she felt a tremble in her lips. As Isaiah 28:11 said, she felt a stammering in her lips. And as she was speaking English to Jesus, her own language to Jesus, her language was, as she described at the time, messing up. I'm trying to tell Jesus I love him, but while I'm saying I love, it started, my language started doing other things. But she didn't stop. She pressed on in love for Jesus. And she started speaking in a language she didn't know. True story. You can ask her about it. And I asked Sarah what she would want you to know about her experience. And this is what she told me. She said, I wanted Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit. But when I received the Holy Spirit, I realized it was Jesus I was receiving. Receiving the Holy Spirit didn't feel weird like I thought it would. It felt like Jesus. The same Jesus I felt when I believed for the first time. And when I repented, the same Jesus I would worship and feel him near was the same Jesus baptizing me with the Spirit. Who baptizes you with the Spirit? It's Jesus. John the Baptist tells us this. John the Baptist says, I'm going to baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, Jesus, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. It's Jesus that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. I believe that testimony is for someone here today, maybe in this room or watching online. Perhaps you're completely weirded out, completely nervous about the idea of tongues or the idea of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you are like Sarah and say, I don't think I would like that. I want to tell you, it's not about the tongues. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the message in Acts chapter 2 when they receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the message in Acts chapter 8 when they receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the message that Peter is preaching. And while he's in the middle of preaching it in Acts chapter 10, those Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. And in Acts chapter 19, what's the message? The message is Jesus and those disciples of John receive the Holy Spirit. You want to know what the Holy Spirit is about? It's about wanting more of Jesus. What's weird about that? And there's one more thing I want to tell you about from my experience with speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit. You have to give voice to it. Say that. You have to give voice to it. You can't speak in tongues if you never speak. I mean, it's kind of logical, right? So speak. If you don't pray out loud, start praying out loud. If you want the Spirit baptism and you want to walk into the Spirit and have him, you know, and fill you with the Holy Spirit with speaking tongues, start praying out loud. Worship out loud. If that's not your thing, make it your thing. Start now. Use your voice to love and honor Jesus. It is in that atmosphere you will be baptized with His Spirit. The worst mistake you can make is not pursuing Jesus, but pursuing tongues or pursuing some manifestation or something spiritual. No, receiving the Holy Spirit is all about going after the message, following after Jesus. If you do that, you will receive the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 has a promise. It says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise. He says, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. If you repent and if you're baptized and if you are open to receiving this gift, it is Jesus the baptizer that gives you the gift. I don't give it to you. You don't give it to yourself. No one else can give it to you but Jesus. Do you want Jesus to give you the Holy Spirit? Do you want to try that today? These altars right now are open. Why don't you come? We come to the altar. That's the third thing we do. We come and we talk to God. We'd love for you to talk to God today. If you want us to pray with you, you come in the first 2 feet. That's this area right here. You just come down here. We will know to pray with you. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, come down here today. We will pray with you to receive it today. Why don't you do it? God has that for you today.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.